Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Wednesday, October 2nd. But, you know, I'm sure that some people thought, well, we'd come in today and we'd talk about the debate, and, you know, that's what would be on people's minds. And, you know, it was an interesting debate and all, but things happened, things were said. Different people had some different views, and I'll get to it. However, little did we know that here we are on Wednesday, October 2nd, and you know what they always say about the October surprise? And sure enough, right on time, the October surprise showed up, and here we are, 1 hour into having received, and you hate to say the word blockbuster because everything with Donald Trump is a blockbuster. But this one's a blockbuster. And as we go through the night, more people around the country will become aware of this. And it probably will even seep into Earth 2 a little bit. I know they'll resist because I know how they do it over there. Here, watch this. La, 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 la. I don't know what's going on. See, yeah, it's easy to do that. But with Kamala running far ahead in the overall emotions of this election. I mean, that there's no doubt about that. From an emotional standpoint, Kamala is absolutely running wild with this thing. And we're going to find out soon enough how much of that is reflected in the actual votes. However, it would have been interesting to see the election without this blockbuster news that we just received only an hour ago. But we won't be able to make that analysis because the news is here and it's going to be unavoidable, except for the people with their hands over their ears and the la 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 business. But maybe you've heard about this already, and if you have, that just only goes to show further how serious all of this is. So let's start with the fact that there was a 165-page document filed by Jack Smith, and this document was resisted by Donald Trump with every fiber in his body. He has put lawyers on this. He has begged. He has demanded. He has threatened. But it's released. And here's the problem. Judge Chutkan wasn't going to be frightened by any of Donald's pronouncements, any of his threats, any of the nonsense. She released this 165-page document. There are some redactions in it, but I haven't seen it. But from what I've heard, there's no getting around who is who in this document. It's easily recognizable. But beyond all of that, Donald's cooked, because this is all of the information that would have been easy evidence in the January 6th case in Washington, D.C., but for the Supreme Court doing everything possible to block the timing of the release of information, block the development of the trial. And frankly, to place their thumb on the scales in favor of Trump in a way which really demoralized a lot of people in the legal community around the United States. But here's the problem. First, Jack Smith was just too smart. You know, he was born that way. Too smart. And he was smart enough to come up with this superseding indictment that narrowed everything down to a very few key issues which could then be adjudicated in Tanya Chutkan's court. And you can get this 165-page document. In fact, you must. I just got through talking to my brother about 15 minutes ago, and I said, look, I know you don't normally read these things, but look, you got to read it. Not because of the election. Read it for your entertainment. Read it because you want to hear, in the words of key people who have up until now been blocked from testifying, their words reflecting what Donald Trump was doing and saying. And frankly, the man is cooked. You know what they say? Stick a fork in him, he's done? Yes, he's done. For example, and I'm just going to give you two. There were so many that I heard, because I haven't read it yet. I've been in the car. There was no way I could get into the document to read it. But I've heard it read. It was read to us over the air. And honestly, I thought about, you know, what kind of a clip could I put on here this afternoon on the way in? And I realized shouldn't be putting anything on because I'd have to run it all. I'd have to run an entire show because the lawyers have come out of the woodwork to describe what's happening and what Trump did and what it means and what is going to happen from here. There's not going to be a trial. No, don't worry about that. At least not until after November, by which time Donald Trump will be on his way to that trailer in Rikers that Jim Comey says is easily set up with Secret Service people all around, and that it would protect Donald so that nobody could come and get him, and at the same time he could serve his time, which he really has to do. He has to serve his time. But, you know, Judge Mershon might do something to help us along with that. And if he doesn't, I wouldn't worry about it because, as I've always said, once Donald loses, I've got really nothing more to say about him. Actually, at that time, I'll pity him. I'll feel sorry for him. That's the truth. I don't really want anything bad to happen to this man. I don't. I just want him to be removed so that he can't destroy America. But let's get this straight. Here are the two things that I came away from all of these discussions this afternoon with, and they are truly blockbusters. The first one, which a lot of people won't care about, because they'll say, hang Mike Pence? Yeah, hang him. Disloyal. However, here's the testimony. When Donald Trump was told that Mike Pence's life was in danger at the Capitol, right at the beginning, as this whole thing was unfolding, Trump's response was two words. So what? I love it. That's just Donald Trump. It's what Mary Trump has said all along. He doesn't care about anybody or anything. Nothing matters to him except for what he can get for himself. Mike Pence is in serious danger. Donald Trump's response. So what? So that's the first thing. I thought that was a good one, and I think there will be some people in the country who are not really very happy with getting that kind of a response from the President of the United States about the Vice President. Now, there are others who will think it's perfectly okay because, you know, if you're a rhino, a Republican in name only, then I guess you deserve to die. There might even be some on Donald's side who think that's going too far. But I'm not going to hope for anything like that on Earth, too. But here's the second one. This is pretty good. Donald is told in the White House, right at the beginning of this mess at the Capitol, that the way things are going, if Trump doesn't stand up right away, there's going to be violence in the Capitol. This is right before everything exploded. Donald's very simple response. Make them riot. Make them riot. I have to tell you, there are a lot of people in this country who won't like this. A lot. Now, there are people who will say, who cares? Let them riot. Or, so what? Yeah, he's right. So what if they kill Mike Pence? I mean, there will be some people like that. I've always said, if 35% of the country in June of 1954 were holding on to Joe McCarthy, then why not expect this? You could expect it? Absolutely. But there's some people will have nothing to do with this and will go no further when they hear this. Reports directly from Mike Pence. He spoke, finally. He testified. There is language from Pence that is devastating. Absolutely devastating. Now, there's an argument that's going to be heard as to whether or not the court has a right to introduce this evidence because of what the Supreme Court said about immunity. That somebody could say, well, you know, Mike Pence was the vice president and the two of them were working together and talking, and therefore all of that evidence has to be held aside. And that might be true for the trial. And actually, this is going to be heard by some higher courts here very shortly. But also, as has been brilliantly explained by the lawyers on television this afternoon, the genie's out of the bottle, guys. You can't put this back. You can say the evidence isn't allowed in trial, but you can't put the information back in the bottle. It's over. The public will know every inch of this. Every part of this 165-page document, which, in fact, Donald tried to say, can't write a document for 165 pages at this point in the trial. It's not appropriate. It's bad evidence. The immunity case. He went on and on. His lawyers tried everything to block this. Couldn't do it. Tanya Chutkan came through today and said, here it is. Now, we're going to explore all this information before the trial because that's what the Supreme Court wants us to do. But we're not going to wait until November 5th or 6th to make this evidence available. We're gonna go straight ahead right now, and we're gonna find out exactly what the decision is of the higher courts about which evidence is okay and what's not. And when we do this, the public will have the right to listen in. It's just the way we're going to do it. And Donald tried so hard. He begged. He threatened. He screamed. He harangued. He did everything he could. He got his lawyers to come up with every sort of crazy reason to block this from the public. But they've got it now, and you can't take it back. There's nothing you can do. You can come out and say, this was bad evidence. Well, guess what? It may be bad evidence in a courtroom, but the public's got it now. All 165 pages. Go to the New York Times and download this thing and read the 165 pages that will be the end of Donald Trump if he wasn't already destroyed, which he was. You know I've said it every day. And now, when he is destroyed, you'll say on the Earth 2 side, if not for that last-minute evidence, Donald would have been our leader. But the problem is that we've got the evidence and the public is reading it right now. And what they're not reading, they're listening. They're listening to it on the news. They're listening to it on broadcasts all over the country. They're listening to lawyers who are evaluating the document. They'll be reading newspapers. They'll be everywhere. And I assure you that at the very least, that there are hundreds of thousands of voters, and probably millions, who are going to be receptive to hearing this information. Then they'll have to decide what they think. Okay, no problem there. But they're going to find out a whole lot. Not only find out about what is going on in Donald Trump's very sick, troubled mind, but in addition to that, they're going to have the opportunity to read all of this, to hear the analysis from real lawyers. There's not going to be any end to it. And remember, there are only 4 weeks and 6 days left. Yesterday it was 5 weeks exactly. 4 weeks and 6 days. That's where this is. And it's going to hit Donald really hard. I've suggested to some friends just in the last hour on the way over here, Kamala needs to start selling shirts. I'd sell them for free. And they should say on the front, so what? And on the back, make them riot. Because those five words should be enough to wipe out whatever is left of the support for Donald Trump that really wasn't going to hold up anyway. But now, I assure you, this is going downhill for Donald Trump. You know, a lot of people are wondering, what will Mitt Romney say? Now, I get it. There are Republicans who go, Mitt Romney? Who cares about Mitt Romney? Well, but here's the problem. Right now, Mitt Romney will not commit yet to supporting Kamala. He says he won't vote for Donald, but he won't commit to supporting Kamala. Although others are, and maybe this will put a lot of pressure on people like Mitt Romney, who will already be listening to Jeff Flake, who will already be listening to General McChrystal, who will already be well aware that hundreds and thousands of government officials, all Republicans, are signing letters every day saying Donald Trump has got to go. This is only going to increase. And sure, Romney's leaving. He doesn't have to be pressured by anything. But there are some people out here who are still hoping for a political career. And if they are, they better get clear of this mess. Because you can call it a blockbuster. You can call it a bombshell. You can call it whatever you want. It ain't good if you're Donald Trump. It's a serious problem. Go get the 165 pages. You can pull it down off the internet in about 10 seconds and just start reading it. You find out all about what's going on now. The sort of thing that under Bill Barr would have been described as a hoax. You know, Russia, Russia, Russia. It's a witch hunt. But you know what? It's not. This is all evidence that has run through a federal grand jury. Federal grand jury. This is the heart of the American justice system. You can't mess with this. This is not rigged. This is not a kangaroo court. This is desperate, desperate times for Donald J. Trump. Truly sick man. So let's talk a little about the debate last night. I think that 22 minutes into this today, that's sufficient for the most part to deal with what I know so far to be in that 165-page document. But let's talk about the debate. It's really sort of anticlimactic at this point because what does it matter? You know, like Donald said, so what? But here's the thing. On top of everything last night, and I'm going to talk about some of it, but on top of everything, you know everybody's pointing to the last minute because the last minute of that debate was the whole story. I don't know if they planned it this way. It would sort of be genius if they did. That is the Democrats, Kamala's people. But waiting until the last 1 minute before the final, you know, words from each candidate, waiting for the final minute and then having Tim Walz turn to J.D. Vance and ask, who won the 2020 election? Started talking about all kinds of things. But he wouldn't say one word about who won the election. Talking about some kind of censorship. All nonsense. And of course, Tim Walz looked at him and said, that is an amazing, damning non-response. And that's exactly what it was. So J.D. Vance, you know, revealed himself to the public anyway. I mean, the rest of us know the story. But he did. He wouldn't answer. Couldn't answer. For all he knows, he could end up on the gallows by saying that Donald Trump lost that election. I mean, we already know that Donald will have you hung. He'll have you hung as his vice president. And remember, Mike Pence was a loyal vice president for 3.5 years, maybe a little bit longer. And then in the end, he followed the law. And by following the law, he almost got himself hung. To which Donald replied, so what? But here's the thing. We're going forward, and we know that there are a lot of people in this country who have been very excited by Kamala Harris. And last night, certainly they all heard that last refusal by J.D. Vance to just explain who won. I mean, who won? How hard is that? You got a man in the White House. You know he's the president. Come on, just say it. Joe Biden won. Couldn't say it. He couldn't say it. He just, I don't know if he was scared. I don't know if he just, maybe he's a little ill as well. But I can tell you this. He would not answer that question. Now, the rest of the debate, very interesting because, as several of my friends said to me today, hey, J.D. Vance wasn't that bad at all. He actually sounded somewhat reasonable. And my response to them was, well, of course he sounded reasonable because he lied from the beginning to the end. He just kept lying. Lying about what he supports, lying about what Donald Trump supports, lying about what the Republican Party represents. It was just one gigantic lie. Now, how do we know? Well, because we listen to what the man has been saying. What he told people last night was not what he is saying when he goes to rallies, when he addresses crowds, when he talks to reporters, when he just responds in front of a microphone. He doesn't say what he said last night. Now, I'll grant you, he made some comments which were not only reasonable, but even Tim Walz said, hey, I can agree with you on that one. And he said it more than once. And it is true that a lot of people were able to agree with some of the things that were said last night by J.D. Vance. The problem is, he'll never say them again. J.D. Vance was asked directly, and I love that it was brought up, how can you support somebody who you described as the American Hitler? Well, he had no answer for that. But he then, you know, rolled off into other commentary, which again sounded fairly reasonable. But it doesn't prove that J.D. Vance would be some kind of a decent person. It only proves that he's capable of saying one thing in one moment and then taking it one moment later and changing it completely. He's certainly capable of that. He could do anything. He could tell you that Donald Trump is a decent man who saved, listen to this, saved Obamacare. Saved it. Donald Trump did everything in his power to destroy Obamacare. And on top of that, he kept telling everybody, after I get rid of Obamacare, we've got a great new plan that we're going to install into the healthcare system of the United States. And the thing about it is, I'm going to tell you all about it in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's always 2 weeks. Everything is 2 weeks. I'm going to tell you in 2 weeks. I've got concepts of healthcare. Well, I'll give him this. He didn't say 2 weeks. He said shortly. But he was probably thinking 2 weeks. Anyway, it's already been shortly, and we haven't gotten a word. And we're not going to get a word because he doesn't have a plan. But, of course, J.D. Vance said, no, Donald Trump wouldn't destroy Obamacare. In fact, he saved Obamacare. And, in fact, he's going to even make it better. He's going to improve it even further. Because this is a great, great president coming up. Oh, has he got plans? And what I would say is, he certainly does have plans. Oh, he's got plans, okay. But you don't want to know about them. And one thing for sure, you will be pleased to know that you'll never have to know about them. You might see it in a movie somewhere. No, Donald Trump is not going to be in the White House. He might be in the trailer. He might be over there where they set up the provisional headquarters for the president of the Prisoners Association. That is possible. But no, in seriousness, this isn't going to play. People aren't dumb. People aren't dumb. Women aren't dumb. Black people aren't dumb. Jewish people aren't dumb. Nobody is dumb. Well, okay, I take it back. Old white men without an education. Yep, they appear to be dumb. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. And I'm sorry for them. And look, if we're successful, maybe we will make it possible for old white men to get special funding to go to college. I'd be 100% for that. That's a good idea. You know that the fastest growing group from a percentage standpoint of people in this country getting college educations are in their 80s. It's an amazing fact. People 80 years old deciding, hey, I think I'll go to college. It's a good idea. My brother Leslie, I tell him all the time, go to college. You'll like it. It'll be good for you. Go to college. Change your life, I guarantee you. If you're a kid and you go to college, well, you got to. You really do. Everybody says, well, you don't have to go to college. I hear that all the time. And I respond every single time, no, you do have to go to college. They'll say, well, what kind of job do you think I'm going to get? And I say, I don't care. That's not what it's about. You don't go to college for a job. You go to college because it'll change your life. And it will. In a serious, positive way. You'll see everything differently if you go to college. And I'm telling you right now, there are people out here in their 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, we can afford it. Let's send them. They need it. Trump saved Obamacare. I guess these people forget. When John McCain sat on the Senate floor, held his thumb, and went like that. And Donald almost lost his mind, whatever it is that was left anyway. Really, he went pretty much berserk. And he started saying the worst things that you could imagine about John McCain. Amazingly, the Republican Party has said, okay, if that's what you've got to say, then that's what it is. They wouldn't even stand up and defend a great American hero. And listen, I'm the last person that should even be talking about an American hero. I wouldn't have fought in any war under any circumstances. I was headed for McGill University in Canada until my number in the lottery came up so high that I didn't have to go anywhere, but I still worked to help other young people my age to resist the draft. Eventually, we killed the draft. Probably be a while before that comes back, although I always talk about historical memory, and it is truly vulnerable to destruction because people get older, they die, and what they know is not passed on. People forget, and the same things that they did in the past, they do it again. Unfortunately. But that's just not modern politics. That's not even just because of the modern era, not because of the results of the post-industrial revolution or the post-information revolution or any of it. It's none of that. It's 100% human nature, period. We forget. We forget. We don't read. We don't know. We drop it all. But see, Donald's not going to get away with it so easily, is he? He thought that maybe he had escaped all this information. Suddenly, 165 pages online this afternoon, you can read every bit of it, and Bill Barr isn't around to redact it, to claim that it's a document that exonerates Donald Trump, any of that nonsense that came out with the 448 pages that was produced, of course, by Bob Mueller, which absolutely should have destroyed, could have destroyed Donald Trump long ago, if not for the fact that the government blocked it, revised it, destroyed it, buried it. There isn't a person alive right now that I know who cares about the Mueller report. And then there are millions who just think it's nothing but fake news. Just the delusions of some deep state people. A hoax, all of that. But on this one, the 165 pages, not going to be so simple, Donald. Not going to be so simple. We all know that Trump did not save Obamacare. We all know that Joe Biden won the election in 2020. Apparently, the only two people around who don't know are Donald Trump, who actually has been revealed to have known, and then J.D. Vance, who says he doesn't know or won't respond, but believe me, he knows. Yeah, he sounded pretty good last night. I mean, if you can make things come out of your mouth, no problem. You know, that's a classic sociopath. Will say anything to get what you want. I'm no psychologist. Mary Trump can tell you. My PhD work is in educational psychology. It's different. So I'm no psychologist. I can't tell you all this. I can come up with some words, but no, it's not my thing. But I can tell you five words that I understand very well. Two of them are, so what? And then the other three, make them riot. I have to tell you, Donald is in a lot of trouble. And that's only a short little piece of what's actually come out in this document. All the redactions and everything else doesn't matter. The information is here. It's not going away. The courts can all say, you should have never released any of it. They could say that. They can't put it back in the bottle. You know, tomorrow morning when you wake up and you brush your teeth, try to put the toothpaste back in the tube. It doesn't go. So, really, this is all out here. All 165 pages. You don't even have to read the Mueller report anymore. Go read what Jack Smith filed with the court. Because as some of the lawyers explained today, and these are seasoned, famous government lawyers, they said, and others who watched them when they were reading the documents said, that when they got to certain information, they actually gasped. They couldn't believe what they read. They couldn't believe what Donald Trump was thinking. They couldn't believe what he was telling people. It's a very dangerous man. But when he's not the king, then I guess he's not quite so dangerous. And right now, he's not the king. But I'll say this. Once he loses the election, we'll even allow him to eat at one of the best restaurants that you'll ever find, which is Wendy's. And Wendy's is, of course, at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and they've got great food. They've got wings. They've got smoked meats. And I haven't eaten the smoked meats. I've heard they're great. It's just not my thing. My thing is the baby back ribs. I love them. I mean, I'm like that. If I like it, that's what I want. So I'll eat the baby back ribs, and I'll eat those onion rings. And I could even be enticed into a patty melt because I love onions. Hamburgers, cheeseburgers, I love them too. Pizza, come on, you got to love pizza. And great salads, yes. It's all terrific food at Wendy's. They know what they're doing. And when you walk in and you see the place stacked to the top of the roof with people because they just want to be there, they love it, well, you'll know that Wendy's is, in fact, as great as I say. And on top of all of that, try those baby back ribs. You'll love them. Now, let's say you've spent, a few hours at Wendy's in Chesterfield. You just don't want people to know that you got that big of an appetite. Well, you can work around it. Hop in your car, go down the road to Defiance, Missouri, and there it'll be, Wendy's Roadhouse. All the same great food, you'll love it. Go to 2999 South Highway 94 in Defiance. It's Wendy's, and it's great food always at Wendy's. Now, if you're interested in jewelry, Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis, and they have cases and cases and cases of jewelry. If you're looking for a great piece of jewelry, you'll find it in the terrific business that is run by Al and his son AJ over on 4506 Hampton. Now, they will buy and sell jewelry and coins, and they'll also design jewelry for you if you tell them just generally what you want. Or if you tell them exactly what you want, they'll take care of that for you too. They're great. It's a terrific business. Jewels on Hampton. Great people. You'll love Al. Go talk to him, really. You'll be happy. Now, I know how happy I am when I go buy a new suit at the St. Louis Suit Company. They've got the best. They really do. Great suits, great shirts, great shoes, overcoats, hats, you know, they got everything. St. Louis Suit Company, they've been there for 30 years, but they've got the best ties. I mean, that's it. You can't beat the ties at the St. Louis Suit Company. You just can't. Every time I show somebody one of these ties, they go, "Really? $5? Where is that place?" Really, it's always the same thing. "Where did you say that place is?" Absolutely. That's the way it works. Now, if you're thinking about getting married, you want the St. Louis Suit Company too, because they're the best when it comes to wedding attire here in the St. Louis area. So go to Forsyth in Central, the corner in Clayton. They've been there 30 years. You will love their ties and everything else. The St. Louis Suit Company. Now, finally, when it comes to Italian food, there's none better than Talena's. My good friend, Mehdi, had a reason for not coming on the air yesterday, but he'll be on soon. He's great, and he loves to talk about lots of the things that I talk about, and especially he is so knowledgeable about Iran. He really knows Iran. Well, he grew up there, and he left. He came here in 1979, and shortly thereafter, he started Talena's out in Creve Coeur, and he's been running that for 40 years. Food is great. Now, all their food is great, but listen. The spaghetti and meatballs. If you go there and you try their spaghetti and meatballs, you will come away and say, Kaysen was not exaggerating. I mean, spaghetti and meatballs is excellent anyway. I mean, it's hard to wreck it. But really, it's better than you can get anywhere if you go to Talena's, 141 and Olive, over there in the shopping center. Plenty of parking. You'll love it. Great restaurant. Enjoy Talena's. And also, if you're looking for catering with Italian food, Talena's will take care of that. All you have to do is ask Mehdi, give him a call, and that will be taken care of in a very, very good way. And you'll get the same terrific food from Talena's. Okay. So there are a couple other things I wanted to mention here before I get out of here tonight. A lot of people were talking about who won that debate last night. Some people said it was clearly Tim Walz. Other people said, no, it's probably J.D. Vance, who did a great job. He substantially beat his expectations. But here's the real number that's worth looking at, and it's significant. This was a CNN poll that they've been playing all day long. And in that poll, they say that Tim Walz, after that debate, people were saying that 59% approved of what they heard. 22% disapproved. 59 to 22. Those are absolutely incredible numbers that everybody in politics would love to have. I know J.D. Vance would love it because that's not what he had. He had 41 who approved and 44 who disapproved. And I want to say that is an essentially important number. And here's why. If people say that they don't like you, and you've just given a debate where you say things that sound pretty darn reasonable, well, that's a good sign that people are very discerning and that you can't just say anything and expect it to be in some kind of a vacuum where no one has listened or recognizes what you said the day before. I'm so glad that people have talked about J.D. Vance and his description of Donald Trump as the American Hitler. It's really important. And it really, I think, tells people who are listening about Vance everything they need to know. Because if you can call somebody Hitler, now go back and think about this. If you can call somebody Hitler and then say, well, I was listening to his theories on tax policy, which Donald has none anyway. All his theory is give all the money to my friends who might support me during my upcoming dictatorship. But see, that's the point. He's not even got any theories. J.D. Vance talks about what a great job Donald did and how he saved everything and how he can fix everything from here on. You know that Donald said yesterday, there wouldn't have been any attack on Iran. I'm sorry, by Iran. Wouldn't have been an attack by Iran if I had been president. And why is that? Because everybody's just going to do whatever Donald says? Don't count on it. It hasn't worked for anything else the man has done. And believe me, he has sunk everything that he has ever touched. I mean, there are books about it, you know, about how everything that Donald Trump touches dies. There are books about it. It's not an exaggeration. He kills everything. Here's one for you. $15.85 today, down 2%. That's about $100 million down the tubes. Just a little short of that. That's Donald Trump's stock. Remember now, it was 80, dropped down to 43, bounced a little, back down to 43 one more time, another little bounce, then it broke 43, went straight to 23, held there a little bit, and then boom, breaks 23. All the way down to 12. And now I'm sure that Donald feels completely vindicated in all of his stock market genius because the stock has bounced from 12 to 15. Donald's in so much trouble. He really is. And this stock is just a perfect indicator of the kind of trouble that he's going to have. And the kind of trouble that the country would have had if they were foolish enough to elect him to anything ever again. But as I've said repeatedly, don't worry, they won't. You know, the debate yesterday seemed so normal. Really, it did. And if you remember, and if you don't, you can go back and listen just for 2 minutes. You go the first 2 minutes of yesterday, and you will hear me say, I think that the debate tonight will be normal. I think it's going to look normal. That's what I said. And that's what it was. It looked normal. But looks can be deceiving because it was far from normal. Because one of the participants lied for well over an hour and a half. He just kept lying. He lied about everything he said about Donald Trump's policy, about what Donald Trump plan to do. He just made it up. Now, nobody asked J.D. Vance a very interesting question, which would have been, why did you write the preface for Project 2025? Why would you do that? Donald says he never heard of it before. He doesn't know the people involved with it. He has nothing to do with it at all. And he thinks some of the policies are bad, although he doesn't know because he's never read it, and he refuses to read it because he doesn't want to know. That's all things that he said. But in the meantime, J.D. Vance wrote the preface for this document. 927 pages, and J.D. Vance was involved in it along with every other Trump person. So to say 2025, I don't know a thing about it. That's a lie. It's the lie that Donald tells. It's the lie that J.D. Vance tells. But they tell their lies so easily. Not really very effectively, except for if you're on Earth 2. Yes, the people on Earth 2 believe every word that comes out of Donald's mouth. They just believe him. They like him. They feel good about him. They think he's their savior. They'll buy his Bible. They'll buy his shoes. They'll buy everything. His trading cards, his digital trading cards. Are you kidding me? Who would want a digital trading card showing Donald Trump dancing? Who would want it? I don't know. Somebody wants it. I wouldn't care what's on it. I wouldn't care if it was worth $1 million and somebody gave it to me. I wouldn't touch that stuff because this guy is poison. He's poison to himself. He's poison to the United States. He'll be poison to J.D. Vance the same way he was poison to Mike Pence. He's poison. There's a book out. I've mentioned it a couple of times. All about Donald. It's called The Lucky Loser. All about how this guy has lost all his life, but always managed, when he destroyed everything around him, to just barely save himself. But he's running out of time. The election is 4 weeks and 6 days away. That's 34 days. Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Now, he is going to do everything he can to overturn a free and fair election. But it won't work. And if there's any good reason why it won't work, it's because of the document that was revealed now, a little more than 2 hours ago, the 165-page document that was put together by Jack Smith and his team, filed with Judge Chutkan's court, and she released it all this afternoon. And Donald begged, and he cried, and he screamed. He told everybody that he was a victim again. That's all he ever is. He's a victim. But here's the thing. The victim has been caught because he said five words. One phrase was, so what? And then the second one, make them riot. Okay. Wendy's, Jewels on Hampton, St. Louis Suit Company, and Talena's. I'll be back tomorrow. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.